John chapter 21, please. We're going to do something a little different this morning. We're going to take a break from Acts. We just started chapter 11. We'll get back into it next week, Lord willing. But just because today is a little different, I thought we'd share something a little different by way of a devotional. We'll get several references, Lord willing, we'll get through them all. But I want to talk about the topic of love. You know, one of the things that I've been thinking about is the love that we get to demonstrate, not only for one another, which is clear. You know, the Bible says that by our love for one another will they, the world, know that we are His disciples. It's not always easy to love one another, though, is it? And it's because of that human nature, that sin nature that we have. But when we do, and when we follow God's word, when we're careful to esteem others and one another higher than ourselves, when we forgive one another, because love covers a multitude of sins, it is an example and a light, a beacon for the world around us. Like the Philippian jailer who saw Paul and Silas loving them by not criticizing, not swearing and yelling, but singing and praying. And the Philippian jailer looked at that love that they had for themselves, for each other, I should say, and for God, and he said, "What do I have to do to have what you have? Or, sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And that night he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Simple faith, believing who Jesus Christ is, trusting in him alone for your salvation. The Bible says, and we will be saved. And it's the love of God that saves us. And we reflect that love to one another, to the world around us. We even love our enemies, the Bible says, right? You know, it's not an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth anymore. Jesus Christ taught, no, you love your enemies. Go the extra mile. Turn the cheek. Pray for them that despitefully use you and do good to them. And so the love of God is unique. It's different than the love of this world or the world's love. It's an unconditional agape love. In John chapter 21, verse 15, and here's, you know, it was the DVBS, and really this church, we've been here almost a year. Can you believe that? It's amazing. The love that you folks have for one another, it's evident. And people talk to me about it. Say, your church is so loving. You know, it feels good to be there. You just come as we are, and we just feel that God loves us and the folks love us. And, you know, we're all just a bunch of broken people trying to figure it out, but we've figured out at least that God will help us. And that's why we're here. And so the sacrifice, the effort, the prayers, the conversations, thinking of one another, helping one another, visiting one another through the week, it is a demonstration of love, and I'm so thankful for it. But it did cause me to ask the question, what does it mean to love God? What does it look like to love God? And the Bible does give us a few verses, quite a few actually, in regards to the kind of love that we get to have for the Lord. So the question that I asked, and I shared this probably a month or so ago with the men. I talked to them about some of these things anyway. And the question I asked them was, why do I love the Lord? Now, I have to use myself. I don't want to pick on anybody. So I didn't say, why do you love the Lord? But why do I? Why do we love the Lord? And there's a few reasons I think we can come up with. I love the Lord because is kind of where we're going this morning for a few minutes. But I wanted to start in John chapter 21 because Christ asked the question that sometimes I sense in my spirit as I'm reading scripture or in the midst of the day and something might be going on in my life or around me. And every once in a while, through the Lord's prompting or through His word, I have to ask myself the question, or maybe it's the Lord that reminds me, I love the Lord because. Do I love the Lord? What does that look like? And, you know, as Christians, we get to every day get up and decide for ourselves to love the Lord. Even though He knows we love Him, we can get up tomorrow morning. We say, God, I love you, but today, give me an opportunity to demonstrate it somehow, something new, something different. Bring someone my way that I can tell them that I love you. You know, if we're not introducing Christ to others, it might be because we don't know Him very well. Ever have that awkward conversation with somebody that you know but you don't remember their name shows up and your spouse is there and you're talking and everybody's waiting for the introduction but you don't know the name so you just don't give it, right? Finally, they reach over and they shake your wife's hand. They say, I'm so-and-so, and then you remember, oh, that's their name, right? I didn't introduce because I didn't really know them that well, right? And we don't want to make that mistake with the Lord. We want to be introducing Him to others, right? It's rude to point, but it isn't rude to point others to Jesus Christ. And that's what we do. And it's our love for them that that enables us and convinces us and encourages us to do that. It's right. We're commanded to. And it makes a difference in the lives of those around us. But here's where I'm going, just quickly. Verse 15, starting in John 21. Christ has resurrected. The disciples are a little scattered still in their thinking. They've come together physically at least. And they decide, Peter says, I'm going fishing. The other guys, some of the other guys, they join and they're out fishing. That's, you know, I can see that. Getting a little quiet time, a little thinking time. And so they go back to doing what they know best. But here's what happens. Christ is on the shore. He's cooking a breakfast for the disciples who have fished all night. They haven't caught anything. They finally listen to his instruction, or they listen to this guy on the shore. They don't yet know it's the Lord. They cast their net on the other side of the boat. There's so many fish they can hardly bring it in. Peter immediately recognizes that's Jesus Christ, jumps out of the boat, swims to shore. He has this desperate love for Jesus. He doesn't even care about, I'm leaving, guys, so I want to be as close to Jesus as I can get. You know, he did that before when there was a storm and he got out of the boat and walked to Jesus on the water. You know, Peter got that right. For a little while, he followed Jesus afar off, it says, when Christ went to the cross. But he figured out pretty quickly, I got to be as close to him as I can get. So he dives into the water, he swims to the shore, and then there's this conversation, just quickly. It says, verse 15, so when they had dined, I love the fact that Jesus provided breakfast, by the way. He cooked a little coal fire there. He provides them breakfast. How cool is that? The captain of our salvation provides brunch, you know. He's the servant of servants, our Most High God. They dine, and then he saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? That's the question. Simon, do you love me more than all this other stuff? More than the fishing and the money and the, you know, the comforts of this world, everything that you see around you. Do you love me more than these things? Now, that's a very serious question, a very thought-provoking question. And if the Lord were to ask each of us individually today, it would provoke thought. So let me pretend that he asks us the same question that he asked Peter. Do you love me? If Jesus were to ask me or you, do you love me? We might feel a little bit taken back by that. Peter was. He was a little offended, I think. Look what his response. He simply says, he saith on him, yea, Lord, thou knowest. Yeah, of course. You know I love you. He gets that right out there. It's not like, well, let me, yeah, I guess so. And he's like, oh, you know, yeah, I love you. Thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Jesus says, feed my lambs. Redirecting. This is how you show your love. You serve me. Will you obey me? It tells us in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my what? Commandments. That's how we show. And so he says, Peter, do you love me more than all these other things? Are you sure? Are you willing to put me first? He saith to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Do you love me? Now this is, I just told you, like it was a little offensive the first time you asked. You know I do. And he asks him again, do you love me? Peter responds a second time. He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He said, yeah, you know, I do. Yes. And that's what I would say. Yes, Lord, I do. And then the Lord asks the third time. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time. You know, imagine, do you love me? Yeah, oh, I love you, Lord. Do you love me? Yeah, you know I do. Come on, you know my heart. You know that I love you. Third time, do you love me? Peter is grieved at this point. Oh, I want him to be convinced because I do love you. But it's struggling to demonstrate that love. And that's why we need the reminder. How can we show that love? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. You know. You know my heart. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Forget about the fishing. Remember, fishers of men, remember when you followed me what I said? We're heading in a different direction now, Peter. And this is how you can demonstrate that you love me. Will you feed my sheep? Will you minister? Will you serve me? Will you obey me? And so I asked myself the question, do I love the Lord? And the answer I would say is the same as Peter's. Yes, God knows that I love him. But what's the evidence for that? Well, 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. I want to share just a few thoughts on why we love him. Why we love him. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says this. 1 John 4, verse 19. We're going to go to six different verses, seven in total, actually, in regards to the ways in which we love the Lord, or the reasons why we love the Lord. And the first one we all know is in verse 19 of chapter 4. It simply says, we love him, finish it with me, because he first loved us. That's right. You know, that's kind of a funny thing to say, except just a month ago today, where's my wife? Is it today? Jack was born. 21st. That was my birthday. It was a fun day. When he was born, that love not only was instantaneous, it was there before the child was born, before the child was conceived. The conversations about children, the conversations about the love that you'll demonstrate and how you'll demonstrate, there was already a love burning there. And all throughout that pregnancy in those 9 months, as we all understand, there was an ongoing demonstration of that love as we discuss the one we've not yet met, that child that's coming, as we prepare and we paint the baby room and we get the crib and we buy the diapers and the bottles. What are we doing? We're demonstrating love through effort, through financial loss or sacrifice, and we're purchasing and we're sacrificing because there is already a love there. Why would we do that for someone or something we didn't love? But we do. And likewise, we love him because he first loved us. And like that parent that loves the child before the child has a chance to love the parent, God loved us first. And we know about that love. And he sent us his son to show us and to prove that he has that love. And he filled his word with all kinds of evidences and promises and truths about that love. So I love the Lord, and we could say together, we love the Lord today because he first loved us. And like a child that grows and learns, and right now little Jack is just learning how to suck his fingers and wiggle his toes and all kinds of cute little things. And as he learns and as he understands life more and more, he's going to understand that his parents love him, and his love will begin to grow and continue to grow throughout his whole life. And that's the way our relationship is with the Lord. As we learn about his love for us, we grow more in love with him. He loves us, folks. He died for us. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, laid his life down for you and for me. Not just for a general group of whoever, but he knows us. We are each fearfully and wonderfully made. He loves us. And we want to love him back because he first loved us. Secondly, John chapter 3, and we know this verse very well. You don't have to turn there. But John chapter 3, verse 16. Second reason why we love the Lord is because he made a way for us to be saved. You know, when somebody rescues somebody, whether it's one of those firemen or maybe it's one of those first responders, drive the ambulance and they know all the first aid stuff, or maybe you're out in the wilderness hiking and you fall or you get hurt and they got to send in a chopper and rescue you and those guys are dropping down, or it could be whatever. When we're rescued by someone, when somebody loves us, they jump out of the car and they help us when we're broke down, or they come to our aid in some way, they're demonstrating their love for us. Isn't that true? That's why we can do it for perfect strangers. We will demonstrate that we care about those individuals, even though we don't know them, because we help them. We want to show love to them. And that's what we do all the time. We get to demonstrate love all the time to those who don't even know us, maybe. But we know God knows them and he loves them. And so we reflect or we demonstrate that love. God made a way for us to be his. He made a way for us to become his children, to be adopted into his family. You know, we are, this is not a popular thing to say, but it's true, biblical. Jesus Christ referred to the father, Satan, at one point when he was having a conversation with some Pharisees. He said, ye are of your father, the devil. Murderer, liar from the beginning, that's who your father is. And you know that's true for all of us. When we are born lost in sin, just by default. We're headed to a place called hell by default. That's our default destination. God has provided a way for us to be saved from that default destination. He loves us so much that he sacrificed his own son so that we could be his children and no longer in the house of the enemy, but brought into the house of God to be children of God, to have an inheritance, to be joint heirs with Christ Jesus, to be redeemed and justified, to be an ambassador to the Lord Jesus Christ, a child of God. And so John 3:16 says, for God so what? Loved the world. That was the reason why he sent his son. We are broken, lost in sin. And he sent his son to save us. I'll finish the verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's the evidence. Do you really love me, God? Do you really love me, Lord? I sent my son to die for you. I died in your place, Christ would say. I love you so much. I gave everything. You know, giving your life is giving everything that you have. And that's what Jesus did. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we can be saved. We can know that we are safe. And we doubt. I get it. And the enemy likes to try to deceive us and confuse us. But the Bible is very clear. The Bible says that these things are written that ye may know, in 1 John, that you have eternal life. You don't have to guess or hope and wonder. Whosoever believeth in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Or as it says here, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And if you could lose it, it was never everlasting to begin with. But he said it was. So we are loved that much. Despite our weaknesses, despite the times that we blow it or we make mistakes or we rebel against him even. He doesn't abort his own children. He doesn't abandon us. He disciplines us, he chastens us, but he is faithful to his word. He loves us. And this is the kind of love that he has for us. And this is one of the reasons why we love him. You know, there's times I don't love myself. Times I'm discouraged with myself. And yet God loves me and he reminds me, I'm working on you. And he is so patient. Revelation chapter 3, just quickly. Another reason why we love him. And this is really precious. There's a lot of people that love others, or they would claim to love others, but aren't able to spend time with them or choose not to spend time with them. Maybe they can't help it. But spending time, having a relationship, nurturing a relationship with somebody is one of the ways that we grow more in love with them, right? That's how it works. You know, I've met people that, first impressions, right? You meet somebody, like, I don't know about that guy. One of my best friends, him and I got in a fight the first day we met out on the playground. That's how we met. We were there to beat each other up. We didn't. We ended up becoming friends. We were friends for years afterwards. It's funny how it works sometimes. Relationships. Once you get to know somebody, once you get to learn about their weaknesses and their strengths and all of those sorts of things, and we begin to nurture or we have a relationship with them, our love grows. And there are those that would say, I love you, but I can't be a part of your life. Well, that's okay. That's better than nothing to be loved even though you're absent. But that's not the kind of love that God has for us. Look at this, Revelation chapter 3. I need to find the reference now. Verse 19, yes. Verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. And this demonstrates very clearly that Jesus Christ wants a personal relationship with us. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Not only with the churches that maybe have rejected even Christ, claim to be religious, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. But even as individuals, we can learn from this one verse, if not many verses, that God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, wants a personal relationship with us. Not a generic one or a general one where we're kind of lumped in, but where we can come to him personally and talk to him about our individual issues and experience his personal comfort and his personal involvement in our lives. I love it when I see God work out details. And I think, you know, why bother with me? You've got so many bigger things to do, and yet you did this for me. And it's because of that relationship that he wants to have with us. I don't want to step into heaven someday and kind of look around and say, okay, where's, you're Jesus, are you? Oh, well, I can't wait to start the relationship. I want to start the relationship now. I want to start it when I first got saved. I want to step into heaven someday and say, hey, Lord, whew, thanks. That was a close one. Glad I'm here. You know, whatever. Thank you. How are you today? And though it will be completely different, I understand that, and we will fall on our face and we will see him with our eyes and we will hear him speak our names. Can you believe that? He will say to you, well done. And it's that relationship that we long to be with our Lord and Savior, to be in the presence of God, and yet we don't have to wait. He wants it now. Look, friends, do whatever you can to daily seek a deeper relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Be in the Word. Be in prayer. Practice the presence of Christ in your life. Be aware that he's with you always. Just be mindful of that. Practice. Make it a habit of being aware that, Jesus, you're with me right now, and you're always with me, and you never leave me. Whether you're being tempted or whether you're praising God or whether you're in a bad mood or a good mood, just be in the habit of remembering Christ is with me. Practice the presence of Christ in your life and honor him, obey him, demonstrate your love for him, and that relationship will grow and flourish. David was a man that chased after the heart of God, and he was the only guy that had that said about him in all of the Bible. God said that David chased his heart. And I love that. It's kind of a nice poetic little phrase, you know. You see little David, the shepherd boy, trying to chase and grab the heart of God so that he could win him over and, you know, be the one that loves God the most, as it were. But the Bible doesn't say that he got his heart. It's still up for grabs. In other words, we can all chase the heart of God. We can all demonstrate, you know, I love you more. Even though we all love him and it's not a competition, act like it is. Chase after his heart. Have that relationship with him because it's eternal. And we may as well start now just loving him and demonstrating how much we love him now. It's a lot easier when we go to be with him, right? Because like we were talking about earlier, we will worship him perfectly. There will be no mistakes, but boy, demonstrating our love now, though it's harder, it just has some substance to it. We love him because we choose to, not because we have to, or not because we can't do anything else, but because we choose to love him. He deserves to be chosen. So, relationship. I love the Lord because he wants to have a relationship with me. There's a lot of people I'd like to get to know, but they don't have anything to do with me. And I don't blame them. And yet God wants to have a relationship with me. James tells us in chapter 4 that when we draw near him, he draws near to us. He doesn't lock the door. He doesn't say, you can come this close, but that's it. No closer. Personal space. We can come to as close to him as we want to. Isn't that amazing? He never says, that's close enough. Here I am. He said to Peter, remember when he got out of the boat? Peter said, can I come to you? What did Jesus Christ say? One word. Come. Sure you can. If you want to come to me, by all means, please come. I love that. He wants to have a personal relationship with us. Not just on the books or textbook, but a personal, vibrant, interactive, two-way relationship. And I think that's amazing. And that's one of the reasons why we love him. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. I'm going to give you the references and just make the comments that I have jotted next to them for time's sake. We only got about 4 minutes. But Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, it tells us that he is always with us. He upholds us with his right hand of righteousness. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He is our strong shelter, and he is never going to abandon us. That's one of the reasons why we love him. Because he's always with us. There's people that have abandoned me over the years. Like, she couldn't put up with me anymore. And sometimes that happens. Nancy laughed a little too loud at that one. It happens, right? You know, God has every reason to be one of those that's like, okay, you know what? I'm taking a break from Tim for just the day. He's never done that, not even once. And I'd be like, yeah, I get it. But he doesn't, and he won't. And I love him for that. You're still sticking it out with me. You're so patient. You're so gracious. I'd have been done with me years ago. And there was a day when I challenged the Lord. Are you not sick of me yet and my sin and my rebellion? Why won't you just take me out of here? I'm tired of it. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm no good at it. I've ruined my testimony. Just take me home. And God said, I love you. And that's not what you want. I know what you need. It's me. And you will love serving me. Just be obedient. And he was right. I'm so thankful that he doesn't give me what I want or what I ask for. But he gives me what he knows I need and what he knows we need. Because he loves us. And he's with us all the time. He knows us. He knows our needs. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. And I'll just, again, make the point. It tells us in that verse that God doesn't lie, that he only speaks truth, that he keeps his promises. You know, I want to keep every promise I make, but I can't always. Sometimes I break my promises because of sin. Sometimes I can't keep my promises because I can't control the situation that I'm in. And I have to say, I'm sorry, I really wanted to do this, but I can't keep my promise. I'm not capable. I'm not strong enough. And God will always keep his promises. Not once will he fail. Not one person will ever be able to say, God broke one of his promises to me. And you know, even if each of us could say, just once he failed me, that would still be a pretty good track record. But he won't fail us even one time. He will keep every promise that he makes. And that's good news because his word is filled with promises. And they're wonderful. Quickly, Psalm 116, verses 1 and 2. Let's turn there. I don't want to miss this. This is wonderful. Psalm 116. Do you ever feel like you're just drifting in a world of people and nobody's listening to you? Nobody hears you? I think we all feel that way from time to time. Nobody's listening to me. Nobody's paying attention to me. I have concerns. I have problems. I have needs. I have frustrations. Well, God hears. Psalm 116, verse 1 says this. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. You know what he said? He said, God always listens to me. I love him so much for that. He doesn't ignore me. He doesn't get tired of me. He doesn't say, oh, stop bothering me about these things. He always listens to me. He inclines his ear to me. I'm going to always talk to him about my problems. I'm going to always go to him because he always listens. And it's true. And this is why the psalmist loved him. And this is why we love him. Lord, you always hear us. You always listen. Thank you. And we love him so much. Psalm 16:11, as we close. Another reason why we love him is because of what he provides for us. Verse 11, wonderful. I've been really mulling this over a lot the last couple of months. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Another reason why we love him because we have hope. The worst day a human being could ever have is nothing compared to what's coming. It's only going to get better, no matter how bad it gets. It's only going to get better for us. That's God's plan for us. There's going to come a day when all the weeping, all the sorrow, all the pain, all the confusion, all the doubt, all the fear, all the darkness will be gone. All the questions will be answered, and we will be with our Lord and Savior, and there will be joy and pleasures forevermore. He has provided us with hope, and it's through Jesus Christ. And so throughout this week, we're going to be sharing that hope with little children in a world that is desperate for it. Amen? Just desperate. So much confusion, so much pain, so much sadness in our homes, and dysfunction and brokenness and misery. They need hope. They need light. They need to know how much God loves them because the love of God saves us. And so that's what we're doing this week. We're demonstrating our love for the Lord by showing his love to these little children and to one another. So God bless you for it and appreciate your prayers, church, as we head into this week. Let's pray. Father, help us as Matthew and other gospels command us to love you with all our heart, soul, and mind, with all of our strength. And this, Lord, will help us love our neighbors as ourselves. We thank you so much for the reasons, the multitude of reasons that you have provided us to love you. Lord, we thank you so much for your love. God, help us to demonstrate that love, a godly love to those around us. Lord, we pray that you would give us wisdom this week and blessing as we work with the children. And then, Father, here this morning, this wonderful group that's taken the time to be in your house, to worship you and to learn from your word. God bless them as they leave and help each of us, Lord, to demonstrate every day, even new, brand new, our love for you. And even tomorrow, as we rise up from our beds, that we would each think to ourselves, God, help me to love you today in some way. Help me to grow in my love for you. And Lord, remind us of your love for us. We thank you for the morning. We ask for your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.